morning, Ireland. 14 minutes past eight. Now, the rent pressure zone bill could be law by tomorrow night. And we're joined in studio by the Minister for Housing, James Brown. And Minister, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning.
We heard, and I know you heard the interview, a depressing enough analysis on the housing front from the central bank earlier. And we will get into the details of what they were saying and the targets and the plans and so on. But I want to start this morning with a few simple explanations, because I've listened to people experienced and working in the area of housing and the rental market, and they've been grappling with the detail of your new rental policy. You're its architect, so I want you to explain it to us, starting with rent pressure zones and what changes.
So at the moment, we have quite a complex system as it is. They're called rent pressure zones. They cover about 83% of the population. A lot of the country, however, are not covered, and they are rolling rent pressure zones, and they have to be updated by the Oireachtas on a regular basis. So, for example, rent pressure zones will run out at the end of this year. And if we don't do anything, every tenancy will be able to go back to market. And we're simply not going to allow that to happen. So I had to make choices. And what I have done in terms of bringing in a permanent rent control for the country, it will begin on the 1st of March in 2026. But we're taking emergency measures in the meantime. And it'll bring in some important protections for renters. So the important thing is for the existing tenancies out there, about 200,000 people, nothing will change if you stay in your current tenancy. The current rule that your rent can only go up by inflation or 2%, whichever is the lower, that will remain. And we're and the second thing is that we expect from tomorrow night, or certainly by the end of the week, that we will have a rent pressure zones extended to the entirety of the country.
So okay. So everyone who stays in their tenancy, nothing changes beyond the 2%. Increase or inflation every year.
Correct.
For tenants who move on, what can the landlord then do?
So a further protection measure we're bringing in for renters is what's known as security of tenure. That's normal in other European countries. We don't have it in Ireland. And that will mean that people will have a certainty as to their rental position. However, to be able to bring that in under the advice under the Constitution, because you have strong property rights and landlords have strong property rights, they need to be able to have some measure where they can reset their rent. So the only way they will be able to reset their rent is if a tenant voluntarily leaves the property and a new tenant comes in. So for example, if a landlord serves a notice to quit, whether it's to sell the property or to move in a child or whatever the case may be, they won't be allowed to reset the rent. So there's no economic incentive for landlords to move them out. But if a tenant does voluntarily move out, that landlord will be able to reset the rent. So in effect, we're moving the protections in rent control from the property to the tenant is how, I suppose, the most fundamental change.
Do you know how many tenancies would change in the course of a year?
That can vary. There can be a certain amount. Okay, there's no question about that.
I know. Do you have a figure, though?
It can vary from year to year, so it can.
But for those tenants then, they move on, the landlord resets the rent. They've been in rent pressure zones in 82 or 3% of the country for the last number of years. So in that case, rents could be going up 20%, 30%, 40%, in some cases even 50%. These are going to be phenomenally expensive rents, aren't they?
Well, under the current law, and this law will be continuing, landlords can only set what is known as a market rent.
Yeah, but if you've been in a rent pressure zone for a number of years, you've been below what we will call the market rent, running these days at 2,000, 2,300 or thereabouts for a one or two bedroom apartment in the major cities.
Well, we have to make choices as to how we get more supply.
Yeah, but I just want to be clear, that is the case, isn't it?
Well, landlords, if it's a new tenancy, landlords will be able to reset the rent.
Phenomenal percentages, 20-30% maybe, depending on the years they've been in the rent pressure zone system.
Will be able to set charge what is known as the market rent. But what we're seeing is landlords, it's leaving the system anyway. We're seeing about 8,000 landlords selling up to get out. We know that 40% of our homelessness are as a result of notices of termination. And that's why we have to take these measures as well.
My question is this, though, Minister. My question is this. On those tenancies in rent pressure zones that change hands every year and that go up now by a significant percentage, and let's just call it that, how are people going to afford them?
Well, the only way we can get rents down, the only way we can get house prices down, the only way we can address homelessness is through supply. If we leave the system as it is right now, we are not going to get that supply. And that's why we're changing the rent control by bringing in a national rent control, doubling down on renters' protections, but also making certain measures so that we can start to get the investment into the country, that we can get that supply moving. Because I'm not only thinking about the renters who are currently renting, but all of those renters who are stuck in box rooms right across this country, who want to get somewhere to live.
The only way you can get rents down is to increase supply. But the only way you can get rents down is to allow rents to go up.
No, the only way we can get rents down is to increase supply.
They will go up. And you've acknowledged that yourself.
And that's having a certain system in place for tenants, for landlords and investors. The current system is clearly not working. The Housing Agency report make that very clear. We have one of the toughest rent control systems in the world, and it is clearly impacting on supply.
Will you acknowledge again though, Minister, rents will go up in certain cases?
Rents may go up in certain cases.
Significantly.
I certainly hope they don't. And our aim is to get rents down by increasing the level of supply. That's what we need to see happen. And rents are going up.
Let me come on to the question of supply, but I want to move to the rest of what you've been doing.
But rents are going up at the moment anyway,
with tenancies,
especially in those areas that are not currently covered by rent pressures.
What are you doing in relation to new bills and new tenancies coming into the market?
So new builds, so that will be properties commencing from the date of the government decision just over a week ago. And so it'll certainly take some time for them to come on to the market. They will have a tenant protection by way of an inflationary cap. So the 2%, if you like, that exists on current properties won't apply to new properties. And that's to get the investment into the country. So what's happening, investors are saying, they're looking at Ireland and they're saying with the 2% backstop, if you like, that is there at the moment, with inflation sometimes going above that, that they are at a real risk of actually making a loss. Why would we invest in Ireland? We'll invest in other cities, and we cannot get the supply without getting that significant investment. We need to go from 30,000 to 50,000, 60,000 homes. We can't, the government is already delivering 50% of all homes in this country. We want to deliver more social and affordable homes, but to get those extra 20,000-30,000 homes per year, we need a private sector. That means significant investment and how we can activate that.
So new bills from next March, or whenever a significant bulk of new bills come on the market, they will be able to set the rented market value at the outset.
Well, they can do that at the moment.
They can do that anyway. Yep. And after that, it's 2% or inflation?
No, for new bills, it's just inflation.
It's just inflation.
Just inflation.
Okay, it's just, and every 6 years.
That would be very clear on that. That is just
and every 6 years, what happens?
So at the moment, you have tenancies of indefinite duration, which means theoretically you can stay in your tenancy for as long as you want. That's remaining. However, we know that there is a large volume of tenants being put out of their properties for economic motivations. For example, often they get a notice to quit to sell or to move in a family member. Not always the case,
we know that. You're giving it protection.
So we're now giving renters a protection. So a minimum of 6 years security of tenure. Within that, the rent can't be reset. The rent can then be reset every 6 years. So they can from that point. For the new builds, for example, your first reset, you probably won't see any till 2032.
No, but you will have a link to inflation increase every year.
It's up to the landlord if that's what they want to do. But they can link to inflation.
Now, are you going to do anything for students? Because they're caught in a particular bind, aren't they? Outside of student accommodation, and we don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the majority of students who are in rental properties, if they're lucky enough to be able to live close to where they go to college at all. And they leave for 4 months in the summer or whatever, they're going to have to start again.
Yeah, well, we're very lucky in this country. I think through very good government policy by various governments, we actually have the highest education of any country in the world. And that's because we're also lifelong learners. We have a lot of students in this country. I mean,
we're talking about how they're going to live and how they're going to afford to rent properties, because when they leave the property, it'll be reset now under your new rules at a new rent from when they return in the autumn or when new students move in.
only if they voluntarily leave. If they are, the same rules apply to students as apply to everybody else, and that is the case at present.
But are you suggesting maybe they should continue to rent through the 4 month summer month when they're away on holidays, which would potentially save them, you know, up to maybe 8,000-10,000?
So there are no special rules at the moment in the rental sector for students, for nurses, for guards, for doctors,
and there won't be. Is that the case?
And there you can, it would be impossible to implement. It would be impossible to implement or work on what you would be saying to landlords. Right. You now need to investigate the person moving into your property. Are they a student? Are they a full-time student? Yeah. How long are they going to be a student?
So you will not be putting
in place. Are you a doctor?
Any protections in that way? Okay, that's fine.
But look, we are protecting student-specific accommodation because
we
that does a difference.
That. I want to play a clip from Sean O'Driscoll, the businessman, chair of the ESRI. He's now a member of the Infrastructure Task Force. And he was talking to Claire Byrne on Tuesday. This is what he had to say. His group, he said, would need to make tough decisions, or you would need to make tough decisions in government arising out of what they decide to help make a difference. And he also stresses here the importance of infrastructure. Let's have a listen.
All of the people who can make the difference are in the room. But to make the difference will require legislative changes and real tough decisions by government. Those of us in the room, with the exception of our chair, who is Minister Chambers, we're not in a position to make those changes. So we can come up with recommendations. We can come up with an action plan. But an action plan is only so good and will never happen unless there is total government support behind it. Mm-hmm. You cannot fix housing without fixing your infrastructure. So to take a number of examples, I'm not the person who's saying it, but the executives and the organisations are saying it. Ishke Éireann are saying Dublin will have a water supply within 5 years. And that's ever before you build the houses that are required in the next 5 years in Dublin. ESB networks are saying that they do not have sufficient capacity for the houses that are required in Dublin for the next 5 years. So you will never fix the housing crisis without also fixing the infrastructure crisis. And you do both simultaneously. Mm-hmm.
You won't fix housing, Minister, without fixing infrastructure. And not alone do you need to do both simultaneously. With commitment from government, you can. Are you committed to implementing the recommendations that will come from this task force? And they will come, I understand it, by July.
No, absolutely. And I think if you look at the number of decisions I've made in the last 2 months and will be continuing to make over the coming weeks, I'm making bold decisions and I'm going to do so. And some of these are tough decisions and I will be open to criticism. The easier thing is to do nothing and not provide solutions. Minister Chambers is determined to resolve, I think, what is a quagmire in this country in terms of delivering infrastructure. You know, the government is providing the funding, but I think we've put layers and layers of, if you like, gateways that are really difficult for people to get through, whether that's utilities or whether that's ordinary people. And I'm working my way for my part in the Department of Housing to unclog all of those kind of gateways so people can actually get back to being able to build the homes they want, and whether that's individual people on one-off homes, whether that's renter properties, whether that's homes for people to buy. So, for example, that's why I'm establishing the Housing Activation Office, reforming the Land Development Agency, saving the existing plannings through planning extensions. Planning exemptions are going to be a huge part. Our planners are spending 50% of their time on small planning issues like attic conversions, converting garages, for example. A hospital wants to put on a tiny extension for an MRI, has to go for planning. We're clearing all of that deadwood out of the system so we can focus on delivering homes.
And this brings us to what the central bank was telling us earlier when Robert Kelly was interviewed by Áine. There's already a lack of momentum this year. You're not going to meet. They've even had to downgrade targets they set last March, have been downgraded now. 32,500 houses down for this year. It's going to be down on their target for next year. It's going to be down on the target for the third year, for 2027. And he cited a number of reasons, one of which is that labour market, because the labour force is involved in those home improvements and not in new builds. But it's also about capacity constraints, the infrastructure we were talking about, and not seeing a scaling up. So with the best will in the world, Minister, and your best words here this morning, you are not going to see this large ship turn around any time in the next 3 years.
We have to turn that ship around. And that's why I'm taking the decisions that I need to do so. We have extraordinarily successful economy and a rapidly growing
population.
And isn't
that what makes it so awful? You have this extraordinary booming ahead economy, and we can't deliver homes for people.
And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to deliver the homes for people. And that's why I'm making some, as I say, very bold decisions, very tough decisions. But we have to get that step change if we're going to get up to those 50,000, 60,000 homes so people can have the homes that they need to live in the communities where they want to live. And that's why I've made all of these decisions in the last number
of
weeks.
But again, honestly, it's going to take, what, 3 to 5 years?
Well, we've already seen, we have seen a significant increase in the number of homes delivered over the last number of years. We've gone from 20,000 to 30,000 homes. We exceeded the housing.
You didn't meet the targets, Minister. You didn't meet targets on your social housing last year. You didn't meet the target. That 40,000 we kept being talked about right through the election, as we know, we didn't even get to 32,500. So, you know, let's not pretend here.
It is important that when Housing for All came in, we actually have exceeded our targets in Housing for All. But we now need a massive step change to get up to the homes that we need. And that's why I'm making the decisions that I believe will activate housing delivery in this country. The state is delivering 50% of the homes, record funding in delivering homes by the state, but the state can't deliver another 30,000 homes on top of what's been delivered. We need the private sector
to
activate
question
it.
And
that's what I'm doing.
I'm just wondering, have you been lobbied by your Fianna Fáil colleagues, by your Kerry ministerial colleague, Michael Healy-Ray, on these short-term lets that they're now going to need planning permission because of these the new rent pressure zone legislation to be in law from tomorrow, all over Kerry, all over counties with a lot of big summer tourism. They say planning permission is now needed. You're going to get a backlash on this one?
Well, that's the current law. Every time a rent pressure zone is extended, the planning requirements kick in for short-term lets. It doesn't apply if it's your principal private residence.
It also doesn't apply for the big tourist areas, Kerry, Galway, Mayo.
Well, a lot of them, actually the families live in the homes, so it doesn't. It's really important for those families to know that if you live in the home and you're renting out rooms, that doesn't apply.
But this summer, for short-term lets, will they now need planning permission?
When this law passes, you have 90 days where you can, you know, within a calendar year that you can rent your property out that you don't need planning permission. So you're not going to see anybody even considering it for several months. Myself and Minister Burke are bringing in very strict new laws around short-term lets for towns over 10,000. Local authorities will have the option under 10,000. So all of this is going to be resolved over the coming months anyway with a new short-term lets plan.
Minister James Brown, thank you for coming into us this morning. Minister for Housing James Brown, 29 minutes to 9. News headlines from Brian Jennings.